That's the hard part. Now I can preach. Galatians chapter 5. And let's start in verse 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Third step on our little journey here on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we'll talk about peace for a little while, okay? Isn't it good to have peace like a river?
Amen.
Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, we love you. And if you don't bless this time, then it just won't be blessed, and it won't be just won't be worth anything, and it'll just be words and vain repetition and just a mess. So please bless it. I know that I'm unworthy to be used, and the Lord just don't feel worthy to even be called a child of God. But I know I am, and I know you saved me, and I know you forgive me of all my sins, and I know you washed me in the blood and made all kinds of promises to me. And Lord, I love you for that. And Lord, ask you just to bless this time, please. And bless all the other preachers that are preaching right now, Lord. A lot of preachers preaching all across the globe right now and in the hours to come. And Lord, just bless them and help them as they try to edify and encourage your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. How many of you ate lunch right before you got here? Let's see who you are. I'm with you. I ate about 1:30, okay? All right, let's do the best we can to keep each other awake. How many of you did not eat, have not ate lunch already? Well, we'll rely on you to keep us all awake then, okay? Just shout. Every time you hear something good, just shout or say amen or something, okay? So far, we've looked at love and joy, and so far we've found out that the world has a counterfeit for what the real fruits of the Spirit are. Say amen to that. And, you know, unfortunately, some of us lived on those for quite some time, but now it's good to have true love and true joy and true peace, is it not? The world offers temporary pleasure for joy. They offer shallow relationships for love. They offer idle promises for peace. Americans are conditioned. They get what they want when they want it. That's why everything's open 24 hours a day, just to try to satisfy and to give some of these temporary pleasures, these shallow relationships, these idle promises. You know, used to, when I was a boy, things closed down, you know, at 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. You know, I used to work at Walmart, and they closed it, I think, 8 o'clock at that time. And then once Mr. Walton died and the other people took over, then it was just a matter of months, and they were open 24 hours a day, selling beer and everything else. Amen. So, you know, Americans they're spoiled rotten. I remember when I was a kid, you could watch TV until a certain time on up into the night, and then all of a sudden it would just be snow and static, and it would go off of the air. But now, just to try to temporarily see, the world's not going to offer you what I'm preaching to you out of Galatians 5. They don't have it to offer. So they're going to offer the counterfeits, and to be able to offer those things, they're open 24 hours a day. No matter what time of the night it is, you can get on the TV. And I'd say, I'm going to venture a guess, you can find just about whatever you want to find on the TV. And, you know, when I was a boy, it was just regular TV, and they didn't allow them to say certain things or dress a certain way. But now, you know, I presume that they just do just about everything on TV. Would I have that right? Is that a good assumption? And so, Americans, you know, they're spoiled, and they've got a counterfeit for peace. You show me a group of people that can shout at the ball game and cry over soap operas and laugh at dirty comedians and get excited over the buffet and not say a word in the house of God. I can show you a group of people that's got a problem. I shout. I mean, you know, we get excited. Come on, right? And I laugh. I'm not going to laugh at dirty jokes, but I laugh. We have a good time, right? And I cry over certain things. I mean, I even see something on the tube every now and then that makes me want to cry. I'm not getting on to you about that. But what I'm saying is you get worked up and excited about all the stuff out there, And then you come in here and it's... Yeah, excite me, preacher. Give me something to be excited about. You done blew all your emotions out through the week watching all that junk. Amen. Being involved in all that stuff. I can't do anything for you. You burned out all your emotions out there. See? What is it about you people? What is it? I see you get excited over certain stuff. There's a bad relationship between you and that pew. Once your hind end hits that pew, it's... You can't make me laugh, preacher. You're going to make me say amen. You can preach a whole message on saying amen. I still ain't going to say it. See? Something, I don't know what that thing is. Just a weird thing going on there. Deuteronomy 23. The Lord had plenty to say to the children of Israel about peace, and I could just spend the rest of the time on this one verse. Hey, I'm not going to get to preach tonight, so can I preach two messages right now? He said no. He said that. My son. It's 3:30. I've got two messages here. I'm going to use one as an intro and finish up with the other one. How's that? Let's hurry. Somebody say amen to that. Thank you. Deuteronomy 23:6. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. He told the children of Israel, do not seek the peace of the Moabites, because he tells them what the Moabites did to them in verse 4 and all the stuff that they did. They hired Balaam to prophesy falsely against them. When they came out of Egypt, they treated them in a bad way. So he said, I don't care what goes on, don't seek the peace of that people right there. And that's what we're guilty of in America. We want peace in Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and all Pakistan. And all. They're wild men. The book said they're wild men. They're always going to be wild men. Stay away from them. We got no business being over there except for to send missionaries over there and spread the gospel. Democracy never helped anybody in eternity, but the blood of Jesus Christ will help people in eternity. You want to make Afghanistan a more peaceful place? Go over there and lead people to Jesus Christ. Does that make any sense? Now, so he warned them about that. When I got saved, I got a peace that doesn't depend on money. It doesn't depend on material things. It doesn't depend on what people think about me. There's a peace settled in here because of what God gave me that just doesn't depend on anything else. I don't care what they're doing in Afghanistan. I want them to get saved, right? But I don't want our troops over there. If you just make me president, that's funny. If you just make me president, I'd bring all the troops home. They spend all the tax dollars right here. We'd wave a flag on every coast just as high as we could wave it. And if somebody blew it the wrong way, we'd take care of them, man. That's the way to do it. Never, never, ever will I get voted in with the smartest campaign manager in the world. These people's peace won't last. Right? You know what people talk about? They talk about pleasure, popularity, playing, and politics. And they never talk about peace. You get in a group of people in this world, they're talking about pleasure, popularity, playing something. Americans are playing. They're busy about their games. Whatever they are, they're busy. And they're busy about politics right now. Obama might be the best thing ever happened in this nation. Woke a lot of people up. Amen. After 1 year, people saying, uh-oh. I'm not going to get political on you. Don't get nervous. I see some of you shifting around in your seat already. What's he going to say? He ain't going to say nothing. Come to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Thank God I got a peace now that just doesn't depend on all the stuff anymore. Doesn't depend on what's going on. Like I said last week, happiness depends on what happens, and joy depends on the blessings of God. So I got joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Who cares about all the happiness? Amen? Peace is being accepted by God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith. What is that? Is that Rocky Top? Thank God. Amen, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Go, Coach Dooley. I might get more response if I preach on that than I've just preached my regular message. You mean just go off and give you the Vol report? We'd get it then, wouldn't we? I'm convinced that I could make people run the aisles if something good happened over that football program. I'm serious. I might run with them. Peace is being accepted by God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you in here that have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ? Is that you? There's no peace in religion. There's no peace in lifestyle. There's no peace in just raising your kids the right way, or what the world terms raising your kids the right way. There's peace in the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 14:17 indicates that there's no peace in meat or drink. The kingdom of God's not meat or drink. It's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There ain't no peace in throwing a big banquet and eating all the steaks and all the lobster and all that other stuff. You can throw a big banquet as you want to, and somebody's going to throw a bigger one next week. Right? There's not peace in those type things. There's peace in the Holy Ghost, and peace and joy, and knowing that your sins are all gone. Say amen to that. The opposite of peace is a troubled heart, a fearful heart, anxiety, worry, stress, anger, depression, frustration, turmoil. Sounds like it's rest versus unrest. I'd rather have the good peace as the counterfeit and all the stuff the world's got to offer, wouldn't you? I just described American Christianity with those terms I just gave you. People walking around I read this book when I first got saved, a little paperback book, maybe 150 pages, called Nervous Christians. Who ever read that? Anybody ever read that thing? I gave it to my mother. I think she read it. Nervous Christians. That's how Christians are. Preachers have talked them out of the authority of God's Word. And preachers have talked them out of the fact that if they trust Jesus Christ, they're going to heaven when they die. So they're all nervous. Just word to death what somebody's going to say about them. Oh no, is the preacher going to preach on me today? Oh no, they're going to see this or recognize that I don't have real joy, real peace. Where am I going when I die? Are all my sins forgiven? Can I trust this book? That's how Christians are. Man, get somewhere where you can have some faith and trust in the book and trust God on where you're going when you die. Trust God to know that all your sins are forgiven and gone. That's great, isn't it? Now I ask you, number one, which of these rules your heart? All this stuff or the peace of God? I ask you, number two, which one of these rules your home? All this stuff or real peace? That's a good question. Colossians 3:5 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Isaiah 57 verses 20 and 21 say, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, there is no peace, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. God won't let you have peace if you're saved and not living right. Have you figured that out yet? Spiritual, mental, emotional, the whole nine yards. The most miserable person in the world is a saved person who's out of the will of God. They're hard to live with. You don't believe me, just ask my wife. She'll tell you. When I get out of the will of God and go where I'm not supposed to go and say what I'm not supposed to say and I'm convicted about that thing, I'm mean as a devil. And all you men in this room are too. You just don't want to say amen. Amen. I'll say it for you. Amen. Say it, ladies. They're mean, aren't they? When they get out of God's will, get convicted about something, won't turn over to God's will. Amen. Afraid of telling on yourself. I know what's going on. For He is our peace in Ephesians 2:14, having made peace through His blood in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. There's a peace that passeth understanding in Philippians chapter 4. Everybody remember that? I think it passes understanding in two ways. It passes understanding in salvation. I can theologically stand up here and give you a discourse on salvation and what happened when I got saved, but when it comes right down to it, I don't really understand all of it. Is there anybody here care to just stand up and tell us just what's going on? Give us the mind of Paul and the Holy Spirit in salvation. You really understand all that, do you? Got it all figured out? I know the book says it. I know I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I know He took my sins and I got His righteousness. I understand. I can give you the theological. You know, I can go to Colossians 2. I can go to Ephesians 2. I can give you the stuff on, you know, imputation, spiritual circumcision. Give you all that stuff. But when it comes right down to it, I just really don't get it. You say, how come you don't get it? Because I know I'm unworthy and He's worthy, but I got the worthiness and He got all the unworthiness. Amen. It just don't factor out. But I know I got it. Now, isn't that good? So I don't understand all. You know Job's problem? Job said, I got some questions for you, God. And he said, my problem is I don't have a daysman. I can come to the table, but God's not at the other part of the table. God go to the table up there, but I can't get up there. But I got some questions for God. Job said, I need a daysman. And the Lord answered that prayer about 2,000 years later and sent the daysman down here. And now I can come to the table and God comes to the table and my mediator's right here with us. And God says, now how come you deserve to go into heaven and I don't have to say a word? I just say, Him. You ask Him. I can't say a word. What am I going to say? Now, Lord, I've been a good boy. Now, I pastored for 10, 11, assistant pastor and pastor for about 10 or 11 years now. And you know, I did this. I read my Bible now faithfully. And you're nothing. We're nothing. We don't deserve anything except for hell with a broke back. Say, how come you deserve heaven, my Savior? He gave me what I didn't deserve. And He took all the stuff that I did deserve at Calvary. I don't understand all that. I don't understand all that. We were sorry in the past, but we're saved and sanctified and going to heaven and inherited all the promises of the Word of God towards us. You care to stand up and say, yeah, I understand that. I deserve that. We'll know where you're at if you do that. Amen. I don't understand it. Peace, it passes understanding in service. I've told you this before, but lost people can't understand you going through a real trial and still having joy and peace. Just knowing everything's okay. Lost people can't understand you going to the funeral home when a little kid or a mom or dad or a sibling passes away and you're smiling and everything's okay and they can tell there's something on the inside of you that they need. That passes understanding. I don't get that. There are five enemies to peace: greed, ambition, envy, anger, and pride. Wouldn't you say those are five enemies to peace, true peace? One old country fella said this. He said, "'Tain't worthwhile to wear a day all out before it gets here." That's what you're doing, some of you. That's what you're doing, some of you. The Lord said, "Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof," in Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about that. There'd be plenty of evil tomorrow and plenty of evil the next day. You got peace on the inside. Don't worry about it. Come on, amen. Another fellow said it like this: it's distrust of God to be troubled about the future, it's impatient with God to be troubled about the present, and it's anger with God to be troubled about the past. You know what we say about babies? Not a care in the world. You know what you ought to say? You know what I ought to say? Are you saved? Amen. All your sins gone? Amen. Got a holy book? Amen. Got a Holy Spirit on the inside? Going to heaven when you die? Is your ultimate destination, is it downtown heaven, New Jerusalem? You know what you ought to say? Not a care in the world. It's good. It's all good. But we don't. We're good at Numbers 11. Don't you read Numbers 11 and see yourself? You say, what is that? Children of Israel murmured, complained. Amen. You know why teenagers don't have any peace? Because they're worried to death about what some punk 15-year-old thinks about them. What in the world could a 15-year-old know anyway? Don't be worried about what they think about you. I'm worried about what she thinks about my hair. What about my shirt? I wonder what she thinks about these pants. Are they too baggy? Not baggy enough. Should I wear dress shoes? I don't care if you go barefooted. You should be concerned about what God thinks about you. He can see your heart. Young ladies worried to death about what some punk football player thinks about them. I wonder if he thinks I'm
pretty. I wonder if he thinks I'm attractive. I wonder if he likes blondes. I wonder if he likes brunettes. I wonder if he likes red. Some of them change it so often. I don't know. It don't matter what he likes. You're going to hit it sometime. Amen? He don't know where he's at or what he's doing or where he's going. Stay away from him. God made you and gave you breath and put you here. You ought to be worried to death about what God thinks about your heart right now. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Some of you parents the same way. Yeah. I pick on the kids all I want to. Some of you parents the same way. Some of you parents have never got out of that. You worried to death what the Joneses are. I don't even know who the Joneses are, you know. Don't want to keep up with them. Don't like them. I don't know. Just stay away from me. Amen? Don't big people, not just kids, big people, adults, just ruin themselves on what people think about them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What's the first word? You know what it sounds like to me? It doesn't sound like a suggestion to me. It sounds like a command to me. You know, I mean, you've heard the saying, you know, it's not the 10 suggestions, it's the 10 commandments. That looks like it's a command to me. For a saved person, we've got some commands in there, right? Be angry. And sin not. Be angry. That's a command. You're supposed to be angry at certain things. You ought to be just mad at yourself when you make mistakes that you know you ought not make. You ought to be angry with yourself. Amen. There's commands for us. Real peace doesn't depend on what happens. Real joy doesn't depend on what happens. What did Paul say? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? You know where he was at when he wrote it? He was in jail. And didn't deserve to be there. Now, my brother told me a story about a couple of fellas that went to jail and they didn't do the crime and they're in there for 26 and so many years. And I don't, you know, it's terrible. It's an atrocity. You know what it'd be in me to do if I got put in jail and didn't deserve it? It wouldn't be in me to start no prison ministry. I'll tell you that right now. I'd just be by the grace of God. I'd be mad at somebody. I'd be mad at the lawyers. I'd be mad at the judge. I'd be mad at the whole jurisprudence system. I'd be mad at people that didn't come to my defense. How about it? Anybody in here ever get bitter? Everybody in here ever have a little stuffed shirt syndrome, get a little pride and think you deserve more than... Come on. Man, but real peace doesn't depend on that. Paul wrote it from jail. Do you really want peace that can be had from a prison cell? I think that's the problem. I think sometimes we just don't want it. Let me give you a couple, three illustrations here, and then we'll move right into this thing, and I'll hurry through it. Just zip through it as fast as I can. There's a poor family. They got just enough to get by every week. But yet you see them out, and they're calm, peaceful, enjoying life. Smiling, playing kick the can, run around the house. Mom and dad looks like they're happy. Then there's a rich family. They got all the stuff. They got all the playground equipment. They got the big, nice brick house. They got the nice concrete driveway. They got the nice job, all the nice cars, all the nice stuff. But they're tense, angry, depressed. You know what? There's one common denominator I've noticed about anywhere from $300,000 houses all the way up to $5 million houses. You know what I've noticed about those houses? There are never any kids running around outside playing. Never! Never! But you can run through, we go on visitation, we go down through some of these trailer parks and some of these subdivisions like we live in, you know, just regular old subdivisions. Kids are outside riding bikes and screaming and yelling and playing, pushing each other down with bloody knees and everything else, just having a good time. Peace doesn't come with money. Elderly lady been saved for, I don't know, 60 years. Sunday school teacher for 50 years. Sings in the choir. Sings solos. Now she's standing at the grave of her husband who she's been married to for 50 years. She's got a smile on her face. She's shaking hands. She knows where he's at. And she knows that not in too long she'll be right there with him. But there's another lady, a few funeral homes and a few cities down, that she just buried her third husband. She's full of grief, depression, weeping, wailing, bitterness, animosity. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference.
there's a teenager who maybe doesn't fit in, not the best looking, maybe into science, into this, pocket protectors, the whole nine yards. But he's got peace versus the kid who fits in, wears the name brand clothes, talks to the football players and the cheerleaders. Am I on something here? But this kid, when he lays down at night or hurt, has no peace whatsoever, and they wonder what life is really about. Do you see the difference? One true peace comes from God, and the counterfeit comes from the world. And the counterfeit ends in tears 100 times out of 100 every time. If you want real peace, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Worry and stress are accepted in our society today. Amen. It's normal. They make pills for it. It's sin. If it's not a faith, it's sin. What are you worrying about? Come on, amen. What are you worrying about? Worried about God not strong enough to take care of it? Come on, right? You know what worry, the meaning, you know what the meaning of that word carries with it among many other things? To strangle. You know what worry does? Strangles out your peace. Strangles out your joy. Strangles out all this fruit of the Spirit that we've been talking about here. Five steps to peace, I think. Five steps to peace. I'll read the passage. Let's read on in verse 5 in Philippians 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and peace of God, or the God of peace, shall be with you. Now, I know there's a lot to preach in the passage, but I'll give you five quick steps to peace. Number one, rejoicing. We talked about it there. We need to rejoice. It doesn't seem like a step to peace to me. It seems like a product of peace when you first read it, doesn't it? Doesn't rejoicing seem like a product of peace? But like we said, you should be able to rejoice no matter the situation if you're saved. Right? We should rejoice. Habakkuk. Come to Habakkuk. I'm going to show you something here. This is a great verse, man. It, every time I read this thing, it strikes a chord with me. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. We got plenty to rejoice about. Plenty. Plenty to have joy about, don't we? We got plenty to have peace about, right? Hey, if there's a group of people in the world that has a reason to have love and compassion, it's us. Because our love and compassion stems from the ultimate love and compassion. That's Calvary. You're not going to get that kind of love from Confucius or Muhammad or Buddha or Gandhi or anybody else. No pope has ever offered that kind of love. The Lord Jesus Christ offers that kind of love. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk 3:17. Anybody ever put out a garden? Work in the garden? Anybody ever do that? That's a lot of work, isn't it? If you do it right, it's a lot of work. 3:17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Wow. That sound real positive? Ain't that a blessing? That sounds like some of the weeks that you all have had. Bad things happen to good people. Verse 18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The things going on in 17 are real bad. But this fella says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation anyway. Even if you have a bad day, bad week, bad month, sound like to me that guy was having a bad summer. That guy had a bad portion of his year, and he said, still yet, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and have joy. That's the way we need to be, right? Spontaneous and heartfelt rejoicing is good. Just good. Just to, Sometimes you just need to make up your mind you're going to rejoice no matter what. Amen? When, Tracy, it's coming for you, big man.
When you're in the car and you're on the way to church and Christy looks at you and says,
I wore the wrong blouse. It's the wrong blouse. I should have wore the other one. I told you I should have wore the other one.
Why didn't you make me change? This looks terrible. And besides that, some other lady in here's got one just like it. I'm afraid she'll have it on today.
And then you get 2 minutes down the road and Mason pukes all over the place, all over the blouse. That was the wrong blouse in the first place, and then he's puked on it too. Clean it up, you know. Get the stuff out of here. Clean it up. It's all right. Your blouse is fine, you know. Sometimes you're going to have to just set in your heart that you're going to get in here. No matter what happens out there, you're going to get in here, and when the singing's good and when the preacher says something that you know is right and you know you need, you're just going to have to say glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're real good to me, Lord. Thank you. Some of you nuts are going to end up acting like charismatics before it's over with. I'm telling you. Some of you, I'm going to look back here and you're going to have your hands raised up towards your home in the sky. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Sometimes you're just going to have to set in your heart you're going to rejoice no matter what happens. You need that. Amen? I'm convinced that some people just won't rejoice because they want you to know they're upset. Come on, amen? All the attention has to be on them. And if they rejoice, all the attention might be turned over to God. So, now I can't do that, preacher.
If I took to heart everything I've heard in most of these churches before I got up in the pulpit, by the time I got to the pulpit, I'd have broken toes and hangnails and backs that hurt and gangrene and lupus and all this stuff. Amen. You don't stand at a Baptist church, Lucas, and wait and greet them on the way in and say, how you doing? They'll tell you.
By the time you get up here, you're beat down with, it's terrible. It's all bad. People that should have reason to rejoice, but they won't. It says in our text, rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord. That's the way it's got to be. Number two, restraint. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Well, the moderation thing there, you know, it carries with it the meaning to be kept in due bonds or held in restraint or held in check or not excessive. You know, you can practice this in food and fashion and fads and friends. You know, all that stuff. You can practice that. Do you realize that what I said is true? Americans are used to getting what they want when they want it. You ever been with somebody that drive up into a parking lot and say and hit the steering wheel and say, I can't believe they're closed? Now, none of you would do that, I know. There's just no way any of you would do that. They're out of potatoes? What do you mean they're out of potatoes? Is this not Wendy's? Can I tell on myself? I didn't do that with the potatoes.
I get sick to death of driving up this McDonald's down here in front of the old Walmart and then being out of ice cream. I didn't do it, but it was in me. Last time, Kara, I just about messed up. Last time, I just about asked the girl. And I was going to do it the right way. I had it all premeditated. I got up there and the Holy Spirit said, don't say that. But I had it all worked out. By the time I got up there, I was going to say, look, honey, I know you're just working here. You don't run this place, but this is a McDonald's. And every time I come here and order ice cream, you don't have any ice cream. If you're not going to have it in stock, take it off the menu. You're driving me crazy. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. Say amen. Amen. We're not used to restraints or moderation. We're used to getting what we want when we want it. Why ain't my favorite shirt ironed? Yeah. Amen. Don't tell on yourself, brother. Woo, this is rough, isn't it? You're grounded. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Your moderation. It's self-imposed. Okay? So, do you want true peace? There's steps in here to having peace. You got to moderate some things. You got to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. Number three, request. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it's talking about your prayer life, obviously. And I'm figuring this out. Our prayer life is a pretty good indicator of where our hope lies. If you could listen to me pray for any amount of time at all, you'd be able to tell where my hope is. You know, we use God as a, you know, Lord fix this and Lord fix that and Lord fix this and Lord fix that. I've threatened and I've never done it, but I'm going to do this. We're going to get in here on Wednesday night and we're not going to take any prayer requests that involves you asking God for anything. Because that's how we do Him. And it's good stuff. We got to do it. Okay, where else are we going to go but to the Lord, right? I mean, when there's a sick family member, a broken down car, got to pay the bills, all this other stuff. Go to God, right? But sometimes I'm convinced we just need to get in here and say, now God, You're real good to us. And You was good to me in this area, and You've been good to me in that area, and You blessed me here, and I want to thank You for blessing and answering this prayer request. That should be able to go on for hours and hours, but I'm afraid we start that, it'd last about 2 minutes, we'd all be embarrassed. A warrior looks to themselves for the solution, and a man of peace looks to God. Sometimes we're just going over our little worry list with God, and we should be praying with thanksgiving, shouldn't we? If we made money deposits at the banks like we do our prayers with God, the bank would send us somewhere else. They'd send us home. Now I know you got to persevere in prayer, and I know you've got to make your request and keep praying. But there's a point there where we pray and we say, now God, will You take care of that? And then we go right back 20 minutes later, right? Word to death, right? Come on. Now God, will You take care of that? Valerie, what if I come down after the bank? What if I come down after the bank and I said, I want to deposit $500? I don't have it, but if I did, I want to put $500 in here. And then I go down to town and do something else, and about 35 or 40 minutes later, I come back and I said, now, Valerie, I just want to check, see if that money's still in there. Will you check for me? And then I come back next morning as soon as the door opens up, I'm there. Now, Valerie, I just want to make sure that $500 is there. Will you check and see if it's in there for me? Eventually, they'd say, take your money and go somewhere else. You're crazy. We don't trust God. We go right back. We deposit. What you need to do is deposit all your cares, all your trust, all your faith, everything right on God and say, God, that's all Your problem right there. Now You take care of that. I'm going to trust You to take care of it. Ain't no sense in going back. We treat our banker with more respect than we do God. Some of you don't even check your bank statements. You just trust them. They're going to take care of it. I trust them. It's a bank, right? They're going to do it right. But you'll go right back to God. Now God. Well, you don't trust Him or what? That's good preaching, even if I am doing it. I believe it. I believe it's all true. We're in trouble there. Well, the problem there? I'll tell you the problem with a lot of people. You don't really trust somebody you don't know. J. Harold Smith said that he perceived that there were at least 75% of the Southern Baptist people that were lost. I'm not judging. I'm not saying that. That's come from a guy that lived to be 90-something years old and preaching them churches for 60-something years. He said, you know the problem? They just don't really trust somebody they don't know. That's good preaching. Number four, restrictions. Quickly, verses 7 and 8. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, forbidding virtue, think on these things. See all that? Your thinking and what your mind is on is important. It's extremely important. Let me read something for you here. Used to have this thing memorized, and I could probably give you a little bit of it, but couldn't give it to you like I want to here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You want perfect peace? You want perfect peace? Keep your mind stayed on God and trust in Him. That'll give you perfect peace. Amen. And lastly, verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word in Philippians 4:9? Do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You see something works, do it. Amen? See somebody's got peace and you know you don't have it? Take some advice from them. You know what I've learned? You know what I've learned finally? I don't know it all. A lot of you knew that a long time ago. There are people out there that know more than me. And if I can see that they're doing something that works with their church, kids, family, personal relationship with God, I need to do it. I need to watch and say, that works pretty good there. I'm going to try that. Pride keeps you from doing that. You know that? If you see it work, do it. Come to Isaiah 53 and we'll finish up while she's coming to the pen. I just wanted to run this thing by you here. You got peace? If you don't have peace, I can tell you where to get it. Isaiah chapter 53. Do you have peace? No, really. If you don't have it, don't say it. But you really got peace on the inside? It's good, isn't it? You know it wasn't free? You know it cost somebody something? You know it cost heaven its very best. 53:3 says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? Somebody was chastised for it. If you don't have peace, somebody was chastised so that you might have peace. You need to come get it. Don't let it just go by. You don't want to let something like Calvary happen and then just let it slide by and let peace and joy and love and all this stuff be offered to you because of Calvary, and then you snub your nose at it and say, no, I don't think so. I think I can do it myself, preacher. You can't. You never will be able to. You want peace? It comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. While she plays, you stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand. You come right now. God, I need some peace. Lord, I'm going through something right now that I'll be completely honest with you. I've treated you a whole lot worse than my banker. I hadn't trusted you. I'll bring it to you. Say, take care of it, but I don't really want to hand it over to you because I'm afraid of what you're going to do. Won't you just trust God? He can do much better with it than you and I can. Won't you just trust the Lord? Are you here and going through something that you know you need some help with, need some peace? Maybe the world won't understand. Maybe when you get done, you won't understand, but God will dispense it to you, will deliver it to you. Won't you just slip right down here and say, God, give me peace. I need some peace. Quit living your life depressed and stressed and angry and full of anxiety and fear and distrust and unrest. Just come right down here and dump it all on the Lord. He's standing down here, right down here with His arms open wide. Won't you come right now? Lord, I'm going to trust You with my health. Lord, I'm going to trust You with my job. Lord, I'm going to trust You with my finances. Lord, I'm going to trust You with my family. I know You're going to ask me to do some uncomfortable things, but I'm going to do it. Lord, I want to trust You. I've trusted You with my soul. I'm saved. I might as well trust You with all the other things. If you're here and never been saved, you never trusted the Lord with your soul, never asked Him to save you, not born again, no one looking around, heads bowed, eyes are closed. I want to see who you are because I just simply want to pray for you. I would never embarrass you. I'm not going to come where you're at. I'm not going to approach you after the service. I want to pray for your soul's salvation. Won't you slip your hand up? By slipping your hand up, you'd be saying, preacher, I'm not saved. I believe all that stuff you're saying is true. I've just never accepted the Lord as my Savior. Never made it personal. I know there's a Lamb of God. I believe the book. I believe John. But I just never have accepted Him. Who are you? Won't you slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. There'll be one. There'll be one all across the house.